Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on this very, very fine day of Monday, October 14th, 2013. Happy Columbus Day to all of you out there. Probably half of America doesn't even know who Columbus is, but anyway, today is Columbus Day, and
I think Columbus was one of the coyotes that helped the Mexicans discover North America. I'm not sure if that's true.
You think that? I don't know.
Yeah, he's helping people come across the border. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Si, senor, and from many other borders from around the world. But we have also an interesting week. Forget about the debt. We have National Boss Day.
Boss or bossy?
Hey, boss. B-O-S-S. Not bossy, boss. Although, if it applies, we also have, come Friday, the full moon. So it's going to be an interesting week this week. But first, before we find out what's going on this week, what's going on this weekend, what this past weekend, let's get right to the metals and see what they did today. And a very uninteresting day in trading. Actually, the bond markets were closed today. Some government post offices were closed today, government offices. They had a double whammy. Government offices were closed for shutdown, and government offices shut down for Columbus Day. Anyway, you have gold, $1,274, basically unchanged on the day. It did try to get off early this morning at 12.8. We had a high of 12.88, and now we're just basically unchanged. You have silver, same thing, $21.41, at a high of 21.66. There was supposed to be a meeting at 3 o'clock this afternoon. They were all getting together, see if they could come to a meeting of the minds, and I believe that was canceled. Platinum was up $8 today at $13.85. Palladium unchanged at $7.18. Crude oil unchanged. Everything was pretty much unchanged except the paper markets. Crude oil was $102.13. I don't know if the Forex traded today, if that was opened or not today. Paper markets today, though, the Dow up 64 points. Early morning trading, it was down 100 points, but they reversed that on hopes for a debt ceiling shutdown deal. The NASDAQ was up 23 points, S&P up 6, And, of course, as I mentioned, the bond market was closed for the day. So, again, just a lot of not sure what's going to happen. But the markets, they tell you that everyone knows that they're going to come together, that there isn't going to be a default. You know, there's a lot of comments coming from various countries and IMF banks, Christine Lagarde, Al, you mentioned on Friday, I believe it was, and you know, people holding various mutual funds. You know, they all say there isn't anything that we can do anyway, and they actually believe that this will. They don't think there will be a U.S. default. Here's one comment from one guy, Nicholas Colas. He's a chief market strategist at CoverageX Group out of New York. He says people in Washington are stupid, but not that stupid. I'm sorry, that was somebody from a manager in Seoul. Some people have positioned their portfolios to some degree. JP Morgan came out, Fidelity Investments came out, said they had purged their money market funds of all U.S. bills coming due soon after the default deadline. You know, but nothing. And what amazes me, Al, is they all say there isn't anything that we can do. And I disagree. There's a lot of things they can do. It's more along the lines that they don't believe that the government will default. Again, they're stupid, but not that stupid.
You know, you talk about stupidity. What holds the dollar value together, Melody? What gives the dollar value?
Confidence.
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 And what is that confidence in? It is the confidence that you can take a debt instrument and use it as an asset. That's the confidence. It's the confidence in the stupid idea that is the foundation for the dollar. It's the idea that they can issue these debt instruments and treat them as assets. It's like saying I can take something written in red ink and pretend it's black ink. And as long as the American people have confidence in that system, then that financial system, that monetary system, can continue. Huh? But when they talk about confidence, what they're really talking about is the same confidence you see in a con game or when you see in reference to a con artist. And it means you got to believe in something that's completely stupid. You got to believe in something that's absolutely false. And as long as you have confidence in someone that isn't worthy of your confidence, that would be a con artist, or you have confidence in a particular game that is rigged and fixed and you can't, and there is no rational reason for confidence. As long as you maintain that confidence, you are vulnerable to being exploited. It is the essence of our confidence. So as long as the American people remain confident that a worthless piece of paper can actually be worth $100, for example, in the case of a $100 bill, well, then the system can continue. But if the time comes where the American people wake up and they say, wait a second, I don't think you can treat a $100 debt instrument that costs a nickel or less to manufacture, I don't think you can treat that as an asset. If they wake up to that, then the government say, oh my gosh, they've lost confidence, you know, which means they will no longer be subject to the con artists or the con game. But for the moment, confidence remains, so the world is all as well in the world because people are dumb enough to think, you know, that money it can be just a piece of paper rather than something tangible like gold or silver.
Someone said, I saw this on the internet, ignorance can be educated and crazy can be medicated, but there's no cure for stupid.
Yep, that's right.
And but yeah, it's just very interesting. And you're out. It's all about this confidence game, and yeah. It's all about and it's who people talk to. I was watching CNBC, had a break around 12:30, 1 o'clock. They were interviewing this financial planner. She was a woman, and she was Chinese, so I was assuming she was representing the Chinese interests, or she was more in tune to, you know, their overall investments and so forth as they were interviewing her. And the very last part of the interview, and you knew why they were asking her this question. They had asked her about China's purchasing of gold. And he asked her in a way that you knew, or they were planning that, or hoping that she would say, well, China's not buying gold. But the question was, from the bulls, you hear that China's buying up all kinds of gold, and from the bears, you hear that they're not. And he asked her, what is the truth? And she went on to explain how the citizens are buying gold, and they've certainly increased their buying, and China has passed India as purchasers of gold, purchasing more gold than India, as the world purchasers. And then she went on to talk about the government. And at this point, I thought to myself, oh, brother, this is what they've been, this is why they even asked her. But she did support and did say that China, with the amount of debt that they hold in U.S. treasuries, they have the one point so many trillions of dollars, they have a lot of cash sitting there that they can absolutely buy gold with it. And she did expect China to continue purchasing gold as the regular investment tool, so as commodities. So and then they immediately went to break, and I know they weren't expecting that answer, and because the way she explained it, you kind of knew that she knew why they were asking her. She did a very nice job. So
got an article here that's interesting, that's about China and its reaction to the government shutdown. And debt ceiling, China calls for a world to be de-Americanized.
Yeah.
China's official news agency called for the creation of a de-Americanized world, saying the destinies of people should not be left in the hands of a hypocritical nation with a dysfunctional government. Dysfunctional government? How dare they call our government dysfunctional, Melody? Chinese, they must be spoiling for a fight. In any case, they go on, they say, heaping criticism and caustic ridicule on Washington. Xinhua news agency called the U.S. a civilian slayer, prisoner torturer, and meddler in other people's affairs, and said the Pax Americana was a failure on all fronts. This is sounding increasingly like the kind of propaganda you could expect out of the former, more virulently red China. They've said in part, they said U.S. politicians, both parties are still shuffling back and forth between the White House and Capitol Hill. And it's time for the world, befuddled world, start considering building a de-Americanized world. Now, one of the things about this de-Americanized world necessarily means that they're going to have to get away from U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They can't have dollars, as insofar as the world has been Americanized, it wouldn't have happened to the same degree without the U.S. dollar being used as a world reserve currency. So they want to get away from that. But according to U.S. Treasury data, this is what's interesting to me. China is the biggest foreign owner of U.S. treasuries at $1.28 trillion as of July. Now, I was familiar with that number. But China also holds close to $3.5 trillion of dollar-denominated assets. Now, I don't even know what they mean necessarily by dollar-denominated assets. I can't imagine they're talking about stocks. $1.28 trillion is in bonds. What are the other $3.5 trillion of dollar denominated assets that, according to this article, China holds? What do they got over there, Melody? Do you know?
I didn't think about it before. Dollar denominated assets.
Yeah. $3.5 million on top of $3.5 trillion on top of $1.28 trillion, meaning that China holds close to $5 trillion in U.S. dollar denominated assets. So China is very vulnerable. That's a third of the gross domestic product of the United States, and that's how much China holds altogether. I don't know what they're holding. I don't know if it counts for land, it counts for, territories, stocks, bonds, what? What do they have? Where did they get the other $3.5 trillion? But if this is an accurate report, China holds close to $5 trillion in U.S. dollar-denominated assets. And, of course, China is complaining that the cyclical stagnation in Washington for a viable bipartisan solution over a federal budget and an appropriate raising and approval for raising debt ceiling has again left many of the nation's tremendous has left many nations, I can't read today apparently, tremendous dollar assets in jeopardy. And that's what's got China all upset. The United States is threatening to diminish the value of China's $5 trillion in U.S. dollar-denominated assets. And that's what's got them talking to themselves and writing these letters. So my point in all of this is that China is holding a lot more U.S. dollar-denominated assets than I had previously understood.
Well, I do know that they have purchased into the energy sector. They're buying up. I would think the assets would be companies, corporations.
Mm-hmm. Might be land. Might be natural resources. It might be.
Yeah, they had a pretty big deal. I mean, it doesn't. If you add it all up, yes, it could come to trillions. But they own. I know in Oklahoma City, they purchased at least have a stake in an energy company down there. So, that's America is being sold out.
Sure, we're being carved up like a Christmas turkey. Yep. And who is buying us?
Yep.
And the answer is, those foreign countries who have previously run a trade deficit, well, they were part of the United States trade deficit. We sent them $100 million, and they sent us $50 million worth of goods and services, and they wound up with an extra $50 million in their wallet. And they've been holding it as the world reserve currency. And by means of that, some people argue that we've been able to export our inflation. Well, now we see that all those dollars are sitting overseas, and some of these countries are sitting back and they realize these dollars are going to be worth less in the foreseeable future, and therefore they've got to get rid of them. So where do you spend them? And one of the most obvious places to spend U.S. dollars is in the United States. In the end, they almost have no choice other than to take their excess dollars and use them to buy properties, industries, whatever, here in the United States. And this is one of the consequences of running these damn deficits and running this fiat monetary system and trying to manipulate the world by means of manipulating the supply of dollars. It all seems so clever when you start this stuff, and it seems brilliant, but it comes back to haunt you. You'll wind up, again, I don't know where that extra $3.5 trillion in U.S.-denominated assets is located. I don't know what it is. But if China is purchasing, but if a substantial part of that reflects property, industries,
absolutely,
corporations, here in the United States, good God! The nation's going to be destroyed by the damn debt that the government's gone into over the past 20, 30, 40 years. And this shouldn't be surprising, and it really shouldn't be surprising. It shouldn't surprise me. It shouldn't even infuriate me. And yet you see it happening right now, and all of a sudden you say, oh, my God, what fools these mortals be. You know, we have taken this debt. These debt instruments are so crazy. They seem so simple. They seem so brilliant and initially so profitable, and they are ultimately so destructive. We're going to pay a terrible price for having abandoned a gold and silver-based monetary system because it gave the government extraordinary power to manipulate the currency, the financial structure of the world, and now that power is coming back to haunt us. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Yeah, I got to remind the folks that for all the purchases for the month of October, your name will be placed in a drawing, and we're going to have two winners. The first, prize will be a Mint State 62 $10 Indian gold piece, I think it's the most beautiful coin that was designed, and another tube, which are 21 ounce silver eagles, 2013. So you get 20 ounces of silver for the second prize drawing. So those are all purchases for the month of October. So you still have a half a month to get your orders in, and we'll make the drawing on November 1st. If you'd like to call us, 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to email us, our email, questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com, and visit our website at dgscoins.com. It is Monday. It is Columbus Day. It is a goofy day today, Al.
Yeah, website. Well, what can I tell you?
Website, dgscoins.com. Did I do that wrong?
I don't know if you did or you didn't, Melody. I don't know exactly, but
look in the phone
book, folks. If we can't tell you where to call, look in the phone book, Discount Gold and Silver.
DGScoins.
Somebody's got to know what the number is. Somebody's got to know what the email is. Maybe not us, but somebody.
Sure.
Frank is a producer. Maybe he knows.
Shush.
Call Frank.
Shush.
Okay.
DGScoins.com. DGScoins.com for the website. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, our archives are the radio programs are there. Move on, Al.
All right. I'm going to come to the rescue here.
Please.
And I'm going to try. I'm going to try to enunciate a couple of words myself.
Thank you.
But in a way that's halfway clear and perhaps, you know, reasonably intelligent.
I left the staff. The staff has off today, so I was the only one working today because I thought more of the markets would be closed today, and that's what I get.
See what happens? This is where it all went wrong.
Nobody will remember me on Boss's Day.
Mm-hmm. On Bossy Day, yes. On Bossy Day, yes, you will be remembered.
No.
Hey, no. All right, we got an article here on nuclear power plants closing. Nuclear power plant, why U.S. nuclear renaissance fizzled and plants are closing. This is Christian Science Monitor. Four nuclear plants have closed this year, and dozens are at risk of early retirement as the industry faces low-cost competitors and renewed doubts about the wisdom of nuclear power. Funny thing happened on the way to the nuclear renaissance. For the first time in 15 years, operating nuclear plants are being forced to close, and energy companies are scuttling plans for new plants and upgrades to existing ones. Now, why is this? Well, it's about Fukushima, ultimately. For the plant in Fukushima, Japan, four nuclear reactors have essentially gone into the China syndrome. You know, we saw the movie where the China syndrome was if a nuclear reactor, something happens, the core starts melting its way through the earth, and it could go from the United States all the way to China. So this can't exactly happen in Japan, because if the cores melt themselves into the earth, they're going to go straight down. Rather, they'd have to go left to go to China, but it would be a shorter trip. I don't think they're going to move horizontally. But point we're trying to make is Fukushima is a terrible, terrible problem. And it illustrates some extraordinary, it's an idiocy and an arrogance of biblical proportions. You know, there's passage in Matthew, if I recall correctly, where he's describing end times. And essentially says that except for God's intervention, all life, all flesh, would die. They mean all life. They didn't just say the passage, and I can't quote the exact verse. I don't have it right here in front of me. But it says all flesh would perish. It means all life would perish. It doesn't say all mankind would perish. It means all life would perish. And from my perspective, I don't believe that can be done. I don't believe God would do that. But plutonium could. And plutonium is a fascinating substance because it is the most single lethal toxic substance known to man. I remember seeing a report back 30 years ago, at least. They talked about plutonium, and it stuck in my mind. And one scientist or another explained that a mass of plutonium about the size of a baseball, if it were equally divided among all the people on the earth, it would be enough to kill us all. Now, that would be probably 5 pounds or less for a mass of plutonium, which is a heavy, heavy metal. And it's about, you know, probably about 5 pounds of plutonium. Divide a couple molecules for you, a couple molecules for me, a couple molecules for everybody, and we would all be dead. Now, what's interesting is that plutonium is almost unknown in the mantle of the Earth. You can't set up a plutonium mine. You can mine uranium. Uranium is fairly common. It's radioactive, but it's not in the same league as plutonium. It's nowhere near as lethal as plutonium. Uranium can be found on the Earth. Plutonium is almost entirely a man-made substance. There wouldn't be any plutonium on the face of the earth except some really smart guys with PhDs in engineering and physics and so on. They decided that they could start making atomic reactors, and it would be brilliant. we would get our energy, and it would be cheap energy and maybe even free energy, and it would be an extraordinary event. They'd make them with, they'd use uranium to start out. But one of the problems is that nuclear reactors produce plutonium. And as a result, today there are an estimated 1,300 metric tons of plutonium on the face of this earth where there was none 50 years ago. Right? Virtually unknown 50 years ago. There was a little bit. But man has made 1,300 tons of plutonium knowing that a mass the size of a baseball might be enough to kill us all. You got to be crazy. You have to be insane. You have to be self-destructive to an extraordinary degree to enter into this madness, and that's what it is. And this at bottom is why, again, they're saying four nuclear plants have closed this year. There are about 430 nuclear plants around the world, and I believe it's about 170 here in the United States. The fact that four have closed is interesting. It's cause for celebration, but it doesn't get us anywhere out of the mess we're in. If one of these plants really has a serious worst-case scenario meltdown, it could be enough to destroy life on Earth. And we've built over 400 of these plants around the globe. The Fukushima plant is particularly interesting because the designers, this plant was designed primarily and built primarily by General Electric. These plants include fuel rods. I don't know the length of the fuel rods, but the fuel rods consist of pellets. And these pellets include about 3% plutonium, and most of the rest of it is uranium, and they're about the size of your thumb. And they stack these pellets in a series inside a metal casing. And the metal casing is made out of zirconium. And one of the interesting things about plutonium is that plutonium will burn. Plutonium can light, all right? It can actually self-ignite when exposed to, plutonium can ignite. I tell you the truth, I don't remember if it's from moisture. I think it's from moisture that sets off plutonium. But they encase the plutonium in zirconium rods. The outside of these rods is made of zirconium. And zirconium burns. It will self-ignite if exposed to air. So they have to keep these fuel rods continuously underwater because if they expose them to air, they will ignite. And when they do, they will burn the plutonium inside, send it up into the atmosphere, and it could be enough to kill the planet. How stupid do you have to be to make a nuclear power rod out of a material that will burn if exposed to the atmosphere, knowing that the flame will be enough to perhaps set the plutonium on fire and cause a plutonium smoke that is sufficient to kill people around the world? How freaking mad do you have to be to come up with this technology? And yet, we've done just that. And again, 431 plants around the world and 171 here in the United States. And we see four of them are being closed here in the States, and there may be more now. And the reason is they're beginning to realize, oh my God, if any one of these plants goes into a Fukushima-like nuclear accident, it could be enough to kill a state, maybe a nation, maybe a continent. You know, we would be better off to engage in nuclear war. In the end, nuclear war would be less harmful than nuclear power. And the reason is nuclear war, you get these bombs, they go off, they go bang, there's a flash, there's radiation, everybody dies, everything gets knocked down, and the immediate vicinity where the bomb goes off. But life on Earth would continue. All right? It'll be terrible for the people that are attacked. I get that. But life on Earth would continue. The nuclear war would not actually, because it consists of relatively small quantities of radioactive material, and it's all dissipated when the bomb and the flash goes off, and then it's pretty much okay. It's a little bit like we see with Hiroshima. They bombed Hiroshima with atomic bombs. The Hiroshima grew back up. It's a vibrant city today. All right? You can deal with atomic bombs. You may even be able to deal with hydrogen bombs. But you can't deal with these nuclear reactors because they consist of tons and tons of radioactive material. And if these things go south, any one of them is enough to the devastation is incredible and unfathomable. You look at this and you wonder, my God, what was General Electric thinking about? When they designed a plant at Fukushima that used fuel rods that have a zirconium casing. It has to be kept underwater. Where do they keep the spent fuel rods? They keep them in a spent fuel rod tank that's located on top of the reactor building. The spent fuel rod tank is 100 feet up in the air, which means if the tanks were built down at the ground level, you could keep water on them just by capturing water that was coming off the local mountains. It would be possible to use gravity to keep the fuel, the spent fuel rods, covered with water. But when you locate them 100 feet up in the air, you have to rely on pumps to pump water up there. If we have a serious problem like an earthquake, for example, and it shuts down the pumps, guess what? The spent fuel rods up at the top of these nuclear power plants, they may lose their water covering, and if they do, they're going to begin to burn and contaminate the world with a plutonium smoke that is lethal to everybody. And you look at this and you begin to understand, how could they be so stupid as to design a building this way? How could they be so stupid as to advance a technology that produces more and more and more plutonium? It is a waste product of existing nuclear reactors. That's why we have 1,300 tons of it today. And a baseball, it's a mass the size of a baseball, could kill us all. And we, as a species, have created all of that damn extra nuclear waste, plutonium waste. What are you going to do with it? Where do you think we can bury it? Where do you think we can, and it's going to last, some of it will last for millions of years. Some of it will last for thousands, I don't know. Some may be gone in 100 years or more. I don't know what the half-life is on everything involved in these things. But I guarantee it can't be safely stored anywhere on the earth, and even if you can store it safely now, you have to store it for centuries. What kind of a legacy have we left for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? We have taken an extraordinary and absolutely unjustified risk in even messing with this material. We shouldn't have produced 5 pounds of it in the history of the world, and we've produced 1,300 tons. And now what are we going to do with it? Wasn't even here. Good Lord didn't produce it. He didn't plant it on this. It's like sneaking 1,300 tons of explosives into the Garden of Eden. Yeah? Like 1,300 tons of C4 going to sneak it into the Garden of Eden. Good Lord doesn't put it here. Couldn't be found, basically. Might be a couple of trace atoms here and there, but basically you couldn't find plutonium. It had to be created by mankind, and we've created in a volume that may kill us all before we're done. It is a spectacular story. All I can say is 4 nuclear plants are going down this year. There'll be more in the future. They're going to decommission them, and thank God, but still, we are a long way from resolving this problem. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We're going to be back in a moment. Hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adiscaro on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I would ask Melody to tell you the number, but I'm not going
to
do that.
I do have something to say. I do have an announcement.
Okay.
And you need to remind me. We need to let the listeners know who listen on shortwave at the 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time that they are changing the frequency beginning the 27th. Of October, and it's going to be changed to 6.115. So for shortwave listeners, 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, that you can hear it today at 6.875 is going to be changed to 6.115 beginning the 27th.
Okay.
So we always get lots of calls, and it's the only station or the only frequency that's being changed as of now. They do it every year at this time of the year, and
they change it back in the springtime or thereabouts. They'll change it 6 months from
correct.
Now or thereabouts.
That's
it
correct.
Depends. One frequency works better in the summer, and one works better in the wintertime.
You call it a computer glitch. I call it a test. This weekend, people in, I think, 15 states.
17 is what I
heard. Is it 17 states? Yes, 17 effective states experienced glitches for the folks who have the debit-style cards for their food stamps.
Yep.
The vendor that produces them is Xerox Corporation. They said they had a system failure, so about 9 a.m. Saturday, there were reports from across the country that the EBT cards were not working in stores. I guess they showed they didn't show any balances, so people didn't know what they could charge and so forth.
They couldn't charge anything.
They couldn't charge anything. There were some places that continued to charge even though they didn't know what the limit was. I think that was in Louisiana. People just were filling up their carts until they were told to stop. I don't know how long they went on for the hours, but all these people had these carts, the shopping carts, just full of items. They had gone to Walmart and went on this like shopping spree, just filling up their carts, and they were logging them onto their EBT cards until they were told not to, and then everybody just left, and Walmart had all these carts overflowing, just sitting everywhere. But I guess they really kind of bled the shelves kind of dry.
And, well, the big problem, the big lesson in this is a lot of people were badly hurt. Now, a handful of people were able to perhaps exploit the glitch where they thought they were going to get out with, you know, a couple extra carloads of food that they otherwise couldn't buy. But for the most part, what happened is people who were depending on these EBT cards issued by government to go down and buy their groceries all of a sudden found out they couldn't buy groceries. Now, this is a devastating event for people that are living hand-to-mouth, living on welfare, don't have any cash savings, don't have any gold coins, don't have any silver coins. They depend on that plastic and the electronic system that's behind the plastic cards. And some of these people were coming in to buy groceries, and it wasn't just a convenience thing. They're buying groceries because they were out. There's nothing left at home to eat. There's nothing left to feed their children. And all of a sudden they find out, oh my God, the damn plastic card doesn't work and they can't get any groceries.
Darn.
Well, that's a terrible situation for people that are depending on those pieces of plastic. And there's a limit. There's a lesson in all of this that applies to everyone, even if you're not on welfare. If you're relying on your credit card, if you're relying on your debit card, to buy whatever you need on a daily basis, got that in there? Are you relying on that? This situation is showing you how vulnerable you can be in the event of some sort of a computer breakdown. And these computer breakdowns can happen for technological reasons. They can happen for political reasons. You are vulnerable, every one of us who has any of that plastic, and insofar as we depend on it, we are vulnerable to a shutdown by government. They can put the word out anytime they want. It's a conspiracy theory. I don't expect it to happen, but it could happen. They can put the word out and say, look, shut all the electronic banking off. How many of you have enough cash in your wallet to get by for a week or a month? How many of you have enough gold or silver coins to get by for a week or a month? What are you going to do if they shut off your plastic? I don't expect that to happen, but I'm just telling you. It's one of those lessons that tells people you need to keep enough food stored around the house to last for a considerable period of time. You know, at least a month. You got to have a month's supply minimum, and really you ought to have a couple of months, 6 months, maybe a year. I don't know. You make up your own mind, but you've got to have some food stored. You've got to have a stack of cash laying around someplace that'll work in the event that you're a power, that your electricity goes down, your computer, your disk, your debit cards, your credit cards, your EBT cards, they fail because of electronic failure. You've got to have some cash, and you sensibly would have some gold and silver. This can happen. We saw 17 states go down this last weekend. What makes anyone think that we can't see 34 states or 50 states or, as Obama says, 57 states? Like Heinz, we call it the Nation of Heinz 57. Heinz, the United Heinz, 57 states of America.
Well, you know, we can take another look at this story in a different way. Most of those cards are rebooted, from what I understand, around the 10th of the month. So this is a period of very high activity for the folks who go in to get their groceries and food. And let's say it did happen at a period of, you know, all the states. I mean, human nature is human nature. And, you know, yes, we do need to have food, but to me, this is, you can look at this as a, what can happen? How people sort of do things maybe they wouldn't normally do. They react. And it can be very dangerous.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It could be not just having food, but people become angry.
Yeah, no.
And they strike out. And so it's not to me. I'm sure these people had food in their homes that they could feed their children for one more night.
Most of them undoubtedly did, but some of them probably did not.
But not knowing the reason to where it could last for a much longer period of time. It's scary. It's frightening. Dangerous.
You know, I've talked about it on the program before. As we develop an increasingly efficient society, that efficiency comes out of our margin for error. Right? As we become more and more efficient, we also become more and more vulnerable. The example I use every time is there was back in the 1950s, General Motors had tons of engine blocks and automobile parts out in the backyard, essentially, behind the plants. And if the unions threatened to strike and go out, they're going to go out and shut down the, you know, they wouldn't work anymore. General Motors wasn't worried about it because they could bring in some scabs and they had plenty of supplies in the back. They could keep making cars for a couple of months after the union went out on strike. But today we have that just-in-time supply system where we have coordinated everything in order to avoid having all of that capital laying out in the backyard. Engine blocks and frames and fenders and rest of that sort of thing. In order to avoid tying up all that capital and being more efficient, they have a just-in-time supply system, which means they have things computerized down to where you're down to your last engine block at General Motors, and right at that moment, another semi-load of engine blocks comes in and starts to offload. And the result is General Motors doesn't have an inventory. General Motors is constantly building these automobiles. It's more efficient. It saves money, but it also makes everybody more vulnerable. And the classic example was one little outfit, I think less than 100 employees, that manufactured all of the brake shoes for General Motors products back about a decade ago. They went out on strike. And once they went out on strike, the entire General Motors industry had to close down. They couldn't build any automobiles without brake shoes. They had to shut everything down because 100 guys went out on strike. Point I'm trying to make is the more efficient we become, the less margin of error remains for us. We become more vulnerable. So as we become a more computerized society, all seems very clever. It seems brilliant. It's all more efficient. Saving money, good for everybody. But if anything happens to that computer system, guess what? We are all in deep, deep doo-doo. All right? And it's not just a technical glitch. I mean, this stuff can be devastating, and it's only going to get bigger, and we will become more vulnerable as time goes on. We will become more efficient, also more vulnerable.
And just wait until you're ready to go into surgery, and there's a glitch in your government health care.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, I know.
That's exactly right. You know, that's a very good point. I guarantee the day is coming when you're not going to be able to get that surgery unless you've got an Obamacare card.
Yep.
And you're going to have to have one of these little things, and guess what? We had a computer glitch. I guess you're going to have to wait till Monday before you can get your operation on your heart. Or your brain, or get the bullet pulled out of you where you got shot by somebody who's trying to loot food because they can't get any down at the grocery store anymore. You look at it, and you look at things like the nuclear power plants, talked about it earlier in the program, and you just shake your head because a lot of this is, most of it, is motivated by certainly an incredible arrogance. But more than anything else, an incredible greed. We are constantly trying to make things cheaper. I understand that. That's a good idea. But we're doing this with paper money. We have created nuclear power plants. Why? To cut the price of energy. And what is the price of energy? Well, it's denominated in debt instruments, which is irrational. And we are chasing the almighty fiat dollar, and it's an illusion. It's a game. And in the name of that, we come up with brilliant ideas that have so far held the system together but ultimately exposed the system, and that means you and me and everyone out here, we are all being exposed to some great liabilities while we chase an illusion, a fiction, a fraud. You look at this, and it's like one of those events. It's like reading about Goethe and making his deal with Satan and so on. And he's going to trade his soul and get all this power, and he's going to have everything. And it all just blows up in your face. I don't know what the solution to the problem is, but somewhere along the line, people have to do what is right rather than what is merely profitable. People have to begin to focus on that, and if we won't, we are just headed for a moment when all of the wrong choices we've made, even though they're profitable, all of the wrong choices we've made are going to come back, blow up in our face, and we are going to wish to God we'd been on the flight to Mars or maybe the moon, because it might be safer there than it is here. What else we have, Melody? Two minutes?
Yeah, we're just about out of time. We're going to be talking a little bit more about tomorrow about the Obamacare, the people they have hired in order to help and work with consumers on the health care. There's no background checks. There's nothing. Here you're giving these people all your personal information, and they have arrest warrants. They have no background checks at all on these people. So you're open to all kinds of fraud, identity theft, and so much more. So we'll be talking about that a little bit more tomorrow. But welcome to the New World Order, folks.
Yeah, I know. Brave New World. Well,
Brave New World. New World Order. Yeah.
Brave New Computerized World. I've got one article briefly. International Monetary Fund strongly suggests countries tax the rich to fix the deficit. And some people are going to say, oh, my gosh, you can't tax the rich. Point is, who else are you going to tax? By definition, you can't raise taxes on the poor. They don't have anything. The middle class is being eroded away to where it almost doesn't exist. The only people that are profiting are the top couple of percent around the world. And there's an interesting implication on this. If the government is going to have to tax the rich, it's the same as Willie Sutton. He said, why did he rob banks? He says, that's where the money is. Where else is the money right now? It's up among the rich. They're going to have to be taxed, and taxed big time, in order to support the government and perhaps the programs, welfare, and whatever. And that means there is going to be a moment of great antagonism between the government, which has been for sale to the rich for the last generation or two, and the rich people themselves are going to be much disappointed when they can no longer bribe the government. Government says, sorry, you can't bribe us. We've got to tax you. It'll make for an interesting change in our political system. I'm Alfred Ask. We're out of time today. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord bless you. This is Melody and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.